We shall now turn to the first chapter of John, and we shall consider this morning verses 4 and 5. John chapter 1, verses 4 and 5. We could read from the beginning of the chapter. In the beginning was the Word, and the Word was with God, and the Word was God. The same was in the beginning with God. All things were made by him, and without him was not anything made that was made. In him was life, and the life was the light of men. And the light shineth in darkness, and the darkness comprehended it not. The Bible's message is the gospel, and gospel means good news. And yet for many people, the gospel is not good news. They don't see it like that, and they don't see it like that because they're dead. They're blind, they're deaf, they're dead. Isaiah, talking about the gospel, said, Lord, who hath believed our report? And to whom is the word of the Lord revealed? Who hath believed our report? He shall grow up before him as a tender plant, as a root out of a dry ground. There is no form nor comeliness. And when we shall see him, there is no beauty that we should desire him. Isaiah is amazed. Why is it that people aren't believing this great report, this message about God's work and God's Son and the salvation that he has done? Even in his own day and amongst his own people, the chosen, the Israelites, who have believed our report? To whom is the arm of the Lord revealed? It seems that God's arm is revealed to no one. No one is believing the report. And so many see Jesus as a root out of a dry ground with no form nor comeliness, no beauty to desire him. And that's because they're in darkness and they're blind. You see, when God opens our eyes, and we see our own sinfulness, and when we see the wrath of God against sin, and when we consider the awfulness of a lost eternity, then Jesus is exceedingly precious. And the message of what Christ has done on the cross and the way of salvation is a glorious message to us. It's exactly what we need. And Jesus then becomes to us the altogether lovely one, the chiefest among 10,000, the rose of Sharon and the lily of the valley. Who can compare with him in beauty? He is so attractive to us because we need him. Have your eyes been opened to see the beauty of Christ? Do you appreciate the gospel, the good news? Matthew, Mark, Luke and John speak about the gospel. Mark starts with the ministry of John the Baptist, preparing the way for Jesus. Matthew and Luke start with the birth of Jesus. And here we see that John starts in eternity. Before Jesus' birth, before the world was created, before time began, in the beginning was the Word. Go back to the very beginning of time, and even before that, he was there. In the beginning was, because he is eternal. In the beginning was the Word. The Word is the Son of God. The Word was with God, face to face with God. Two persons. The Word was with God. And the Word was God. The two persons, one God. Three persons, Father, Son, and Holy Spirit, in one God. The eternal, the Word with God and God. Different from God, the Father as a person, and yet one with the Father in the one God. The same was in the beginning with God. All things were made by Him, and without Him was not anything made that was made. Nothing was made but was made by Him. So if we look at the things that were made and everything that was created, every single thing that has ever been created, all things were made by Him, by the Word. And without Him was not anything made that was made. So of course, the Word is uncreated. The uncreated Creator. The divine person who came into this world to save us. The Word was made flesh and dwelt among us. And we beheld His glory. The glory is of the only begotten of the Father, full of grace and truth. The Savior of the world. And so that brings us then to verse 4. In Him was life. In Christ was life. Was life, is life, and ever will be life. First, He's the living God, isn't He? He's not a dumb idol. There are many people in the world and they worship gods. Dead gods. Animists who worship stones and rocks and rivers and mountains. Hindus which worship many, many different kinds of gods. But they're dead gods. Idols dumb which blinded nations fear. But our God is the Lord by whom the heavens created were. He's a mighty God, an acting God, a God who created all things and a God who is sustaining all things, is powerful. In Him was life, and He created life. He's the source of all life. Plant life, animal life, human life, angelic life. He created all life. Now in our society today there are many atheists and secularists. We've been hearing a lot about these cartoonists in France. And their cartoons of Muhammad and how they've been making fun of Muhammad. But it's not just Muhammad they make fun of. They make fun of Jesus and they make fun of God because they're atheists. They don't believe in God. They don't believe in any God. They reject them all. But in Him is life. They believe that there is no God, and they believe that every God is a dead God in whom there is no life. But there is a living God. In Him is life. And every single one will have to stand before Him. Everyone who denies Him, blasphemes Him, mocks Him, ridicules Him, they all one day will die and will stand before God's judgment seat and render their account to Him. In Him was life. We believe in the living God. Now, what kind of life is in Him? It's not mere animal life. He's the source of animal life. But what is he specially meant here by "in him was life"? It's spiritual life, an eternal life. And spiritual life is eternal life. John, in his gospel, uses this word life 36 times. In the book of Revelation, he uses it 17 times. And in the first epistle of John, 13 times. So if you add all that up, it comes to more than half the uses of the word life in the New Testament are to be found in the writings of John. So it's a concept that John particularly likes. He likes to draw our attention to it. And it's a very rich concept, the concept of life. Eternal life. God's life. Spiritual life. Think of some of the occurrences. John 3:16, best known verse in the Bible. "For God so loved the world that he gave his only begotten Son, that whosoever believeth in him should not perish but have eternal life." Why did God give his Son? He came into this world so that we might have eternal life. You think of John 14, verse 6. "I am the way, the truth, and the life." I am life. Eternal life, spiritual life, the source of life. Life is to be found in me. Outside of me is death. We think of John 11, verse 25. "I am the resurrection and the life. He that believeth in me, though he were dead, yet shall he live. And he that liveth and believeth in me shall never die. I am the resurrection and the life. People die, but they will rise again. I am the life. I give eternal life to men and women. Whosoever believeth in me, everyone who trusts in me will live forever." 1 John 5, verse 12. "He that hath the Son hath life, and he that hath not the Son of God hath not life." Do you have life? Do you really have life? Eternal life, spiritual life inside you? Are you going to live forever with God, with Christ? That spiritual life, that eternal life. He who has the Son as life. Have you received the Son? Do you have eternal life? John 17, "Whom to know is life eternal." To know him, to trust in him, to believe in him, to depend upon him, to receive him and embrace him is life. God created man. Breathed into his nostrils the breath of life, and man became a living soul. And he was alive. He had life. But then he ate the forbidden fruit. "And in the day that thou eatest of it, thou shalt surely die." I was rather interested in talking to a man last Friday as we were going round doing door-to-door work. This man said, "Oh, the devil had a little bit of truth in what he said. Because the devil said, you shall not surely die. And Adam didn't die." Well, I know he died later on, but he didn't die at that time. "In the day that you eat of it, you shall surely die." And he didn't die. But oh yes, he died. We try to show him that Adam died that moment to God. Died spiritually. Became dead in trespasses and sins. And every one of us who is born into this world is born dead. Dead in sin. And we've got to be resurrected. We've got to be born again. We've got to be created afresh in Christ Jesus. Then we're alive. In Him was life. In Christ was life, and through Him is life, and only in Christ, who is the life, whom to know is life, and whom to possess is life. And when Adam sinned, that very moment, in the day that thou eatest of it, thou shalt surely die. And he died in the worst way possible. He died spiritually, separated from God, dead in his sins, and on the way to eternal death. In him was life. Christ was life and is life and is the source of eternal life. And then moving on in the verse 4, and the life was the light of men. Not only was life in Christ, but light was in Christ. This life was light. And again, it's not physical light that's been spoken of. Yes, I know Christ created physical light. And without him was not anything made that was made. And on the first day of creation, Christ said, "Let there be light." And there was light. So he created physical light. But in him was light. And there was light in him before creation. Eternal light. Spiritual light. And he is the source of that light. We read in John chapter 8. Jesus said, "I am the light of the world. I am the light of the world. He that believeth in me shall not sit in darkness, but shall have the light of life." It's interesting how you get these two concepts together. Light and life. I am the light of the world. In him was life, and the life was the light of men. I am the light of the world, and he that believeth in me shall not sit in darkness. How many people there are sitting in darkness? But he shall have the light of life. And the moment that Adam ate of the forbidden fruit, he sat in darkness. Great darkness came over him. Spiritual darkness. Blindness. He felt that sense of nakedness and shame that belongs to darkness. But Christ is the light of the world. He that believeth in me shall have the light of life. The fall brought darkness, brought blindness, and eventually outer darkness for those who do not come to Jesus Christ and do not believe in him. They will go to outer darkness, the pitch darkness of hell. Darkness in mind, darkness in imagination, darkness of depression, darkness of desolation, darkness of torment, darkness of exclusion from the light of God's blessed life. The darkness of hell. Remember Paul walking along the Damascus road. He's going to persecute the church in Damascus. And there's a bright light shines from heaven. And a voice says, "Saul, Saul, why persecutest thou me?" And he falls to the ground. He says, "Who art thou, Lord? I am Jesus whom you persecute." It is hard for thee to kick against the pricks. And physical blindness came over him. He couldn't see. But along with the physical blindness came spiritual sight. He couldn't see, and yet he could see everything. He could see into his own heart. He could see his sinfulness. He could see his self-righteousness. He could see his hatred for Christ. He could see the wickedness of the way he was persecuting the church. And then he could see Jesus, the Savior. And Ananias comes to visit him there in Damascus and lays his hands on him and says, "Brother Saul, receive thy sight. You're already a brother. You already have spiritual sight. Arise and be baptized, and now you're going to have your natural sight back too." Paul was in darkness, Saul of Tarsus, because he rejected the great prophet, the light of the world. And if we reject the light of the world, we're going to be in darkness. Christ is the light. I am the light of the world. I am the Word, the one who speaks, the one who reveals God. Remember the blind man in John chapter 9? Arguing with the learned Pharisees, trying to tell them the wonder of the person that he met and how he gave him sight. And they were saying all sorts of things against Christ, and eventually the man said, "Well, there's lots of things I don't know, but one thing I know. Once I was blind, but now I see. Once I was in darkness, but now my eyes are opened." What is conversion? It's being called out of darkness into the marvelous light. Called out of that state of darkness, transformed and brought into the light, into the marvelous light of Christ and of the gospel. All around us we're seeing people walking in darkness. They're lost, they're despairing. Maybe you're like that. But Jesus came, and Jesus is the light, and Jesus gives the light. Meet Jesus. Believe in Jesus. Receive Jesus. Let Him light your heart and soul. He came a light to lighten the Gentiles. A light into the world so that the Gentile world which was in darkness might see the light. Has that light then penetrated your own soul? Has the darkness been taken away? Have you seen the light? People say it trivially. Seen the light? Well, in a very real sense, when somebody is converted, they see the light. The light of Christ shines into their heart. And things are never the same again. In Him was life, and the life was the light of men. That light which came into the world, has it shone upon you and into you? Verse 5. And the light shineth in the darkness. The light shines in the darkness. Now it's interesting, there's a change of tense here. In Him was life, and the life was the light of men. But it changes from the past continuous to the present continuous. And the light shineth in the darkness, emphasizing how the light is shining. John is bearing witness to this light which is shining. And we are to bear witness today to the light which is still shining in the world. How dark the world was when Adam ate the forbidden fruit. total darkness came into the created world on earth. The darkness of sin and lostness. But in the middle of that darkness, a little spark shone. Genesis 3 and verse 15. The seed of the woman shall bruise the serpent's head, and he shall bruise his heel. There was that little promise of the coming light. And then we follow the history of the world and the darkness of the world and the violence of the world and the world being destroyed by a flood. And yet in the midst of that great darkness, there was a little candle of light. Noah. And God spoke to Noah and gave Noah light. And the ark was made. And Noah was saved and his family. And then the darkness, but Abraham comes on the scene. And God calls Abraham and shines his light into Abraham's heart and reveals his covenant and Isaac and Jacob. And then Moses, and the light of God's word is shining. And people are coming to the light of God's word and being saved. And the light of David and the light of Isaiah and Jeremiah. And then we come to the light of Malachi. And he speaks of the Son of Righteousness, S-U-N. The Son of Righteousness arising with healing in his wings. And he's looking forward 400 years beyond his time to the coming of the light into the world. In the person of Jesus Christ. In him was life. And the life was the light of men. The day spring from on high. That's the way Zechariah puts it. The day spring from on high has visited us. Day spring, dawn, springing day, breaking out of the light. The people who sat in darkness have seen a great light. The darkness, but the light rising, dawning, the coming of the kingdom, the revealing of Christ, the work of Christ, the spreading of the gospel through the world. Arise and shine, for thy light is come, and the glory of the Lord is risen upon thee. The light has come into the world. Christ has come. Arise and shine. Rejoice in the light, for it has come into the world. Men loved darkness rather than light because their deeds were evil. They rejected the light and they crucified the light. This is your hour and the power of darkness, said Christ. The prince of darkness with his dark following, crucifying him who is life and light. How dark Glasgow is. Thankfully, there's little candles of light here and there. There's a little light here in Knightswood Church. And there's light in other gospel churches around our city. Most people, they're not interested. They reject the light and they walk in darkness. But the light is there. And there is an invitation to come to the light, to enjoy the light, to let the light shine into their hearts, to embrace the light. And every Christian is a light. And we are to let our light so shine before men that they may see our good works and glorify our Father who is in heaven. But how do we have light? We only have light because of the light of Christ shining in our hearts. I heard a story just yesterday about a man Christian man who went to Africa and went to live in a certain African village. And he met there with great opposition to the gospel. And he wasn't allowed to speak at all about the gospel. But he lived out his life. Eventually he died. And some time after that, a missionary came to that place. And the missionary started explaining about Jesus Christ. And what kind of person Christ was. And the sort of life that Christ lived. And the life and the light. And the chief of the village said, actually, that man lived here. He lived here and he died just 2 or 3 years ago. And he spoke about the Christian man. Because that Christian man was a light. Even although he couldn't speak yet, there was a light shining through him. The light of Christ. I am the light of the world. You are the light of the world. Let your light, my light, shine. Transmit my light. Reflect my light. Be like me. Oh, that every one of us would be seen to be like Jesus, so that when people would hear about Jesus, they would think about us and how Jesus shines through us and brings the light of life to men and women. Every one of us has to be a light in our home, in our neighborhood, amongst our relatives, in our workplace, wherever we are. Once you were darkness, but now are you light in the Lord. Walk in the light as He is in the light, and have no fellowship with the unfruitful works of darkness. The light shines in the darkness. The light of Christ shone in the darkness of Galilee and of Jerusalem, and the light of the disciples shone through the ancient world in Jerusalem and Judea and Samaria and Greece and Rome, and the light is shining today right across the world. The light shines in the darkness. And then finally, the darkness comprehended it not. The darkness did not grasp it, didn't understand it, didn't appreciate it. The light came and, well, you remember what Herod did, how he tried to destroy the light, killed all the little children in Bethlehem in an attempt to kill Jesus. You remember the priests, then the scribes and the Pharisees, how they opposed the light of Christ. We saw that in the chapter, John 8, that we read together. How they took up stones to cast at him. He'd said the truth. Before Abraham was, I am. I am. I am Jehovah. I am that I am. I am the light of the world. I am. And they took up stones to throw at him. They said he was a blasphemer. He was claiming to be God. But he was God. And he is God. Before Abraham was, I am. I am God. And so they took him and they crucified him. Why are people condemned? Why do people go to hell? Is it because they're not in the elect? No. Jesus tells us, this is the condemnation. That light came into the world and men loved darkness rather than light. Why are they condemned? Because they loved darkness rather than light. Because they rejected Christ, the light of the world. And they loved darkness. The gospel is light. Love it, appreciate it. Rejoice in it. Embrace it. Take it into your heart and life. Take Christ. But alas, man is in darkness and loves darkness. Friday afternoon, James Haddam and I were invited into a house by a very kind, courteous, pleasant man. Very intelligent man. He and his wife were there and they invited us in. And they were happy to talk about God and about religion and so on. And then the man said, well, he knew a lot about the Bible. I was amazed how many verses of scripture he was able to quote. And then he said, but Jesus, well, he was really just one of these religious leaders from the Middle East many years ago. The Middle East spawned so many of them. These religious leaders. That's Jesus. Just one among many. He knew nothing about the uniqueness of Christ. We told him. Jesus said, I am. Jesus said, I am the way, the truth, and the life. No man comes to the Father but by me. He knew these things in a way, but he rejected it all. Clever and courteous and pleasant and kind. And very respectable man in every way. And yet, the darkness, the gross darkness. He knew nothing of the light of life. The light that lighteth every man that cometh into the world. He comprehended it not. And so we went on our way. Left him with a magazine. Oh yes, he was very happy to take the magazine. He would read it. He was broad-minded. He would read anything. He knew about it all. And he dismissed it all. And he said, well, I sometimes feel a slight inclination towards Buddhism. That was about as far as he would go. The darkness. Oh, the darkness. And how many dark people there are. Some sophisticated, some clever. But many others unsophisticated. Living for drink and drugs and pleasure. Living for money and business and name and reputation. Living for material things and all we have is a material world. But darkness. Death comes. And the material is left behind. And as a spirit they go to stand before the judgment seat. And then they know. Then they know. There's no atheists in hell. Everyone will know. The light has come. This is the condemnation. That men love darkness rather than light. The light came and shone in the darkness, and the darkness comprehended it not, didn't understand it, didn't appreciate it, didn't take it, didn't receive it. And so at the end of the day, the big question is, what does Jesus mean to you? And has Christ come into your heart and life? Has that light shone? Or are you sitting in darkness, enjoying the darkness, loving the darkness, not comprehending the light? Let's pray.